Blog Talk Radio.
All opinions, comments, and representations made by the hosts of Brilliant Ideas Radio and their guests are strictly for entertainment purposes. Well, at least that's what we think we're doing. Entertaining you. Welcome to Brilliant Ideas Radio. Brilliant Ideas Radio keeps you informed about all the awesome products and people in the food industry. Brilliant Ideas Radio is about food, music, and most importantly, having fun with your friends. And now, here is the man with the master plan, Brilliant Ideas. So join the fun and call the studio number at 714-242-5272. Once again, the studio number is 714-242-5272.
Good morning, everybody out there in Blog Talk Radio land. This is the Brilliant Ideas Radio Show, and this is your humble host, Brilliant Ideas, and I am flying solo today without my sidekick. I think he had way too much turkey, ham, whatever, and can't drag himself out of bed this morning for the show. So you got me flying solo. Hope everyone had a great Thanksgiving out there and didn't eat too much and enjoyed your time with your family and friends. And I had a heck of a time. I made all kinds of food, enough food to last probably a week or two. So that's what's nice about Thanksgiving is all the leftovers. And we're going to move along here. In fact, my Jersey girl, food news girl, she's calling in, and let's find out what kind of food news she has for us about her Thanksgiving. And if everything's working right, I should have the Jersey girl, Laurie. Hey, Laurie, good morning. Welcome to the show.
Good morning. How are ya?
Doing great. How are you? How was your Thanksgiving?
My Thanksgiving was wonderful.
Yeah.
I got to spend it at, I went to my sister-in-law's for Thanksgiving. My brother's wife's mother invited me, and it was wonderful. Ate too much. Didn't drink enough, as usual.
I think we all do that. We eat too much and drink too much. And then, of course, then there's the weeks of leftovers, too. I mean, it's like turkey casserole, turkey lollipops, turkey everything before it's all over. You're just sick of turkey, but hey, that's what Thanksgiving's all about, right?
Yeah, but actually, I had a chance to visit your page, and I noticed that you posted your famous ham with the Merlot and pineapples. That looked amazing. Now, I didn't see when
you posted that.
I wasn't sure. Did you make that with the turkey?
Yeah, I actually made that in the oven. I was going to try to do both on the grill, but didn't have room on the grill. In fact, there's a funny story there. I actually put the turkey on the grill, had it all prepped, ready to go, and put the lid on, and the turkey was too big for the lid. So I had to take the turkey off the grill, smash it down, and squash it so I could get the lid on and break the bones inside.
Like,
yeah.
Did you really smash it down?
Yeah, I had to actually take it in the kitchen and basically break its breastbone to get it down flat enough so the lid would fit. But I learned a lesson. Next time, make sure that the turkey fits the grill before you buy it anyway. And the ham was excellent. I took a bottle of Merlot, mixed in some honey. And you just put honey in it until it gets thick enough to where you make like a marinade. Added enough pineapple chunks and mixed it all together, and then used that to baste the ham and threw that in the oven because there was no room on the grill. But that turned out pretty good too. Like 4 hours later, fantastic ham. So yeah, your favorite ham, right? You like ham?
Yes, absolutely. Oh, I love ham. Yep, I've never had it with the Merlot, so I have to try that one of these days.
Oh, it's great. Yeah, I actually found out that by accident one day. I was messing around the kitchen and decided to pour wine on top of the ham, but it just wasn't thick enough. So I said, what would I do? I'll add honey to make it thicker. And, man, is it good, because it just, like, makes it sweet, and it's excellent. So yeah, anyone out there who's never tried it, try that out. It's real simple. Like I say, Well, maybe two bottles, Marilla. One bottle for the ham, the other bottle for yourself. But
drink? Definitely. But that I can do.
So what do you got up your sleeve? Speaking of wine, what do you got up your sleeve?
Well, I have some wine, but I was going to just give you my quick brief Thanksgiving dinner, how it
was. Oh, I thought we were done with Thanksgiving. Okay, fire away.
Well, you got to talk. No, I don't want to. No, it's funny. I just wanted to mention it because my sister-in-law is Italian. So for tradition, her mom, she says she always serves wedding soup. And I haven't had wedding soup in forever. Did you ever have it?
What is wedding soup? I think I had it one time at a wedding, but what is wedding soup?
It depends. I guess you can make it with cabbage and little meatballs. She makes it with escarole and these tiny little meatballs. It's almost kind of the size of chickpeas. But, you know, it was so good. And the thing is, it's not too filling, you know, because you don't want to get filled up before the main course. So it was nice. And then she had fresh Parmesan cheese you could sprinkle on top of it. It was really good. And I love things like that, you know. So, and then she also serves artichokes, stuffed artichokes with the main course. So I haven't had that for Thanksgiving.
I'm not much of an artichoke person. So, but what does she stuff them with?
Really? Oh, garlic, breadcrumbs, Parmesan cheese. She drizzled olive oil on top. It was really good. And you know what's nice? They were really tiny. It wasn't too much. They were just kind of, you know, just enough, you know, not to be too filling. So we had that. And then, of course, we had the sweet potatoes and the mashed potatoes, and her stuffing was delicious. And yes, she stuffed it in.
Wait a minute. Gurney asked that question. Did she stuff it in the bird?
She stuffed it in the bird.
For those of you who don't know what we're talking about, I am not a person who likes stuffing in a bird. And in fact, I get sick just thinking about it. But I know a lot of people stuff it inside the bird. But I used to be in the poultry business, and I just never cared for stuffing inside the bird. So to each his own, but if I ever have it, it has to be in a pan or in tinfoil or something. I can't eat it out of the bird.
But brilliant. They've been stuffing birds forever.
I know. Well, I'm unstuffing them. I'm not doing it.
Okay.
Just because they do it doesn't mean I have to.
Yeah, exactly. But and one more quick thing. Do you do any shopping for Black Friday?
No, I didn't, but the Burger Babe did. She went out and fought the crowds and actually ended up getting a 50-inch TV, and it's a long story, but she actually got there late. Somebody decided they didn't want the TV because they didn't want to wait in line to pay for it, and she ended up getting a 50-inch TV for $300.
Unbelievable.
I know. It is amazing. Did you go?
Actually, I had promised, that's why I haven't been on Facebook much. You know, I always have family matters going on so much lately, but I spent the day, I promised my niece Bridget, who's 14, I promised I would spend the day taking her shopping for Black Friday, and it was the best time. We shopped for hours, and then we're in this store called Lord & Taylor. It's a beautiful, if people don't know, it's a beautiful
fancy
store.
Fancy, swancy.
Yes. We were there for hours, and she got all her stuff, and she had all her sales and stuff before 1 o'clock. I said, okay, my feet are killing me. Let's leave. And all of a sudden, she sees this beautiful top that she just had to try on. So we go to the dressing room, and there's like 5 people in front of her. There's only 3 dressing rooms. We must have waited at least 15 to 20 more minutes just to get into the dressing room to try the top on. The store was a zoo, but you know what? It was just so much fun.
Yeah, but I don't understand you women, how you do that. I mean, it's just like, why? Wait in line to try on clothes?
But because I don't have kids, I can just take my niece and say, okay, when we're done, let's leave.
Hey, Laura, we have a caller, and I think it's a friend of ours that has been trying to call in. I believe this is her number. I believe it looks like a Florida number. I'm going to take this call. Hang on 1 second.
Maybe.
Good morning. This is Green Ideas Radio. Who's calling in?
Well, guess who's calling?
Well,
hello,
finally, it's Gina.
Oh, my gosh. Well, finally. Yay. Hey, I made it.
Welcome
That's
to the show.
Girl.
So, Gina, how was your Thanksgiving?
Fantastic. By the way, How can you not like stuffing in the bird? It's the best part. You get all the turkey drippings. I mean, all the turkey drippings just makes it greasy and gooey and yummy. How can you not like that?
You're going to make me sick just talking about it. Stop.
Gooey. She's right. It's just gooey and all the drippings. I can't even imagine not eating it the other way.
And moist. Oh, my God. My family just love it.
Well, I'm glad they do. I don't.
My stuffing someday.
It looks beautiful. I had a chance to visit your page. Like I said, I haven't had much time, as you know, with family things going on. I haven't had much time, so I try to zip around and visit people's pages. And the photo of you and Peter was just beautiful. You looked like you had a gorgeous day there in Florida.
Yes, it was just, the weather was just phenomenal. It was about probably in the 70s. But it dropped down to probably in the 60s at night. So for us, it's very cold.
That's chilly for you, I know. And I love your rock.
I'm so excited I got on. Oh, my goodness gracious.
Yes. Today's your lucky day. I saw the
number. You know, grilling it, the third strike, you were going to be out. So this is it. You made it in the nick of time.
Yes, Gina has been trying to call in for the last 2-3 weeks. And she told me if I didn't answer the phone today.
I was a dead man.
So thank you for calling in, and glad you guys had a great Thanksgiving.
Yes, thank you, and happy Thanksgiving to you. Brilliant. Nice talking to you. My Lori, I love you
so much. Thank you for calling in.
My
thank
pleasure.
You. Bye,
right,
Gina.
Have a great day. Ciao, ciao. Bye.
All right, bye.
Bye-bye.
And there you go. That's Gina from Florida. There you go. So she finally got in.
Wow, what a nice surprise.
So did you have some news for us, food news?
Yes, but real quick, but Gina is she's one of my very, very close friends. She is one of the most down-to-earth, loyal, true, true dear friends. I got to actually meet her in person, and her family, her husband, they welcomed me with open arms. Unbelievable.
Now that we've had family reunion time, do you want to do the news?
Okay, now. I'll talk about the food news. Okay, a little quick wine thing. I had a nice California 2009 Merlot for Thanksgiving. It was the cartilage in brown. It sells for about $15. And the winemaker's tastings impressions say, too bad Hank Bob isn't here, because I always think of him with this stuff. He's just so funny with this. But it says that the Merlot carries the same complex flavor as the Cabernet Sauvignon. It has generally supple, mellow tannins, notes of black fruit, and briary characters on the nose. Briary, which means strong in alcohol.
Okay.
And it says the palate will find black cherry and a lush mouthfeel, leading to a long finish of spice and berries. It says this wine is well balanced with excellent acidity, that it will pair perfectly with a number of foods. It also says, and I was thinking of you, it says it will be particularly delicious with grilled spare ribs and a smoky barbecue sauce.
So you had this wine, right? It was good?
Yes, it was really, really nice. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so
I liked it a lot.
I'm sure it wasn't as good as my Big Kahuna Tempranillo, but okay. You said with how much was it? $15?
It sells for around $15. It depends, of course, you know, which wine shop you go to, but it's around $15, $17. Mm-hmm.
I could have had seven bottles of my Tempranillo.
Yes, you could.
Actually, 7.5 at $1.99 a bottle, but anyway, so.
Yeah, but what
was the name of that again?
It's Cartilage and Brown. It's a California 2009 as well. Didn't you say sometimes your wine goes on sale for $1 something?
Yep, actually, they have specials at the old Fresh and Easy supermarket, and you can get the Big Kahuna wine for $1 a bottle if you time it just right. And I can't complain about it. It's good. It does the job. Matter of fact, that's what I used for the Merlot on the ham when I made it. Yeah, I mean, come on, $1.99 for marinade. You can't buy it in a bottle that cheap.
I know. And for everyday drinking, I don't mind. I do buy the cheaper wines. I don't, you know, it's just every day. It's more or less what
I know. You shop at Lord & Taylor, so we know.
No, I don't. Actually, that's Bridget. Nope. I'm not a big shopper. I know people think I am. I'm really not. I'm not a big shopper, to be honest with you. anyway.
So what,
okay.
What kind of great news do you have for us today?
Got to talk about the Twinkies.
Oh, yes. Got to talk about the Twinkies. Poor Hostess.
As a matter of fact, it's funny. My dad was making toast. He's trying to tell me, Lord, they don't make, I can't get the Wonder Bread anymore. I'm like, yeah, I know, Dad. No.
You know, that's actually Sunbeam. Sunbeam is talking. The people who make Sunbeam bread are thinking about buying out that bread. I wonder. Anyway, yes, it's the end of an era. I thought maybe they might go back to the bargaining table and work something out, but nope, 18,500 people out of a job.
I know. But it was kind of funny to hear this. It says, Twinkie Junkies raid stores as Hostess brands close. Since the Hostess brand announced it plans to liquidate and sell its products until supplies are exhausted, Americans can have been scooping up Twinkies to get a fix of their beloved snacks. Supermarkets are running out, and the fans are pushing up prices on eBay. A 10-pack of Twinkies was available on eBay for $24.99,
The
four Twinkies were listed for $100.
Do people really want Twinkies that bad?
I remember getting them, you know, for lunch when I was little. Not much. We didn't have a lot of junk food, but I do remember going to lunch when I was little with a Twinkie, in my bag.
What are these people going to do? They're paying $100 for Twinkies, and what if some other company comes in and buys them and continue making Twinkies? Aren't they going to look stupid?
But they'll be satisfied because they got to have them.
And then, get this. Even if they buy boxes and pay $100 and no one does make Twinkies anymore, what good are they? I mean, eventually you're going to have to eat them. I guess they're going to eventually go bad. Of course, they say Twinkies last forever. You probably keep them around until the year 2100. But,
Well. It says the 82-year-old maker of snack cakes was undone by the strike after changes in American diets led to years of declining sales while ingredient and labor costs rose. So bye-bye.
Oh,
then,
what are you going to do?
Then I like this article. I thought it was perfect after. Krispy Kreme creates a market for indulgences unlike Hostess.
Now, there you go. There you go. Now, I think I probably would, if Krispy Kreme didn't go out of business, I probably would pay $100 for a Krispy Kreme donut.
I would do the same thing. Oh, no, I'd beat you to it. I'd be outbidding you. I love Krispy Kreme.
Well, they've struggled over the last few years because of all the health-conscious people out there, and they actually expanded way too fast. But I think the economy has hurt them along with all the healthy eating that hurt Krispy Kreme. But you can't beat Krispy Kreme donuts.
You cannot beat them. And this is an interesting story because it says the market for indulgence has dwindled, evidenced by the turmoil of Hostess brands. But Krispy Kreme donuts has still found a way to lure more customers and stage a turnaround of its recently staggering business. Krispy Kreme began selling its famous glazed donuts in the 1930s, around the same time as Hostess, which I didn't know. I didn't know they'd been around that long.
Yeah, I thought it was like 1960s, because I can remember one of the very first stores was in Norfolk, Virginia, and my grandmother used to take my brother and I there, and we'd watch them make the donuts. But I didn't realize it was 1930s, because that was early 60s, so wow. They've been making donuts all that time. I didn't know it.
Yep. But it says, a culmination of overexpansion, increased competition, allegations of management misconduct, and then the low-carb diet craze caused Krispy Kreme's shares, which traded $50 in 2003, to fall to roughly $4 in the late 20s.
Yep.
But Krispy Kreme's turnaround efforts over the past few years with management changes, store closures, smaller donut shops, and lots of limited-time promotions have helped it bring back business.
Good.
It says Krispy Kreme, which has more than 700 locations selling donuts. I couldn't believe that number either. It has reported improved revenue every quarter for more than the past 2 years, as it has found ways to stay relevant with consumers, cut store operating costs, bulk up its coffee business, and expand internationally.
They do have great coffee, by the way.
You know what? I have never had their coffee, and I have to tell you, after reading this article, I'm gonna get the coffee next time.
No, they do have one of the best coffees out there.
It says that consumers also view our beverage program as complementary to our donuts, and we continue to focus on building awareness for our entire beverage lineup for the drip coffees, iced coffees, and specialty coffees, said Mr. Morgan.
Coffee, right? I know. Go ahead.
I can tell that chuckle. I'm like, you know, he's laughing at me.
Coffee, okay.
I think slowly but surely that will become more and more significant over the next couple of years. And it says the brand marketing consultant, Adam Hans, says the key for Krispy Kreme is to keep innovating with new donut flavors and play to its core demographic seeking indulgence.
Well, we had, I don't know, there must have been like six Krispy Kreme donut places around where I live, and all but one is closed down.
Really?
Yeah, they expanded way too fast. And, of course, in California, you got all the whack jobs and wing-wangs who are so into health-type things. I guess the donut shops just don't make it. Of course, there are donut shops in every corner, but the Krispy Kreme just didn't make it here.
Yeah. Well, maybe it'll, uh-oh, I hear a doggy in the background.
Yeah, there's a dog in the background. I'm going to go shoot it in a second. What other news do you
have? Well, I found this article on how to make the perfect porridge. Okay. Now,
porridge?
I have to admit,
you mean like Goldilocks porridge?
Yes, porridge. Where do you hear this? I have to admit, I made a boo-boo because I forgot to write the chef's name who wrote it, but that's okay. It says porridge is making a comeback as the new haute cuisine. I could not believe it.
Wow.
It says if there's a reason to get into porridge, the king of hot, hearty, wholesome breakfasts, it's surely right now. And you won't have to look far. We're currently in the midst of a porridge renaissance with everyone from McDonald's to Michelin-starred restaurants that are serving it. I don't go to McDonald's. Have you seen, I know you go to some of these fast foods. Have you seen porridge on there? Hello?
You lost me there. You lost me there for a second. My mic went dead. I'm sorry. What was your question?
I thought it was my phone. I'm like, don't tell me my phone died already.
What was your question about porridge?
I said, you're the one who goes to the fast food. It says McDonald's is serving porridge. I said, have you noticed them serving that?
No, I have. I've seen the oatmeal, but... porridge. No, I mean, it's just, I can't, I mean, porridge to me is just like Goldilocks and Three Bears, just, you know, too hot, too cold, just right, but I have yet to see porridge here at McDonald's.
I know, well, market shelves are crammed full of oat products, but before you are tempted by exotic-sounding, fast-cooking porridges, take heed, making porridge is a serious matter, and in my opinion, the package should contain nothing but oats. Well, here you go. It says
oh,
here,
well.
Porridge is the subject that divides people. Who would know? But before I weighed in brandishing my wooden spoon, this is the chef talking, by the way, not me, I should admit that I am a born-again porridge eater. Having been brought up on Scott's porridge oats by my Scottish mother, I lost my taste for it as a young chef, and the memory of their bland, scald milk flavor and gluey texture still makes me shiver.
I never had porridge, and I'm sitting here trying to think who's starting this porridge crusade.
Well, I think don't they serve that on Scrooge? Aren't they eating the porridge?
I don't know. I mean, you got me. This is food. This is food news I could care less about.
Oh no! The Little Rascals. That was it.
Whatever. Yeah, man, back in the 1930s, they used to eat porridge. I'm just surprised.
We're showing our age. But I've never had porridge.
Well, I can say I haven't either because they used to eat it, like I said, in the 1930s. My God. But anyway, so it's making a big comeback. I can't wait. I'm sure people will be standing in line for miles for porridge.
Like Krispy Donuts?
Yeah. Let's see which line is longer, the porridge line or the Krispy Kreme donut line.
I don't know what the way this chef talks. I guess it's the porridge line.
I think you should go to a different story. I'm sick of porridge already.
There wasn't much left anyway, but there you go. Okay, I'll move on. Now, this one, I'm very excited. You're going to say, boo, boring health, but
this next
article was, you better not, because it's my best friend in the whole world sent me this article, Kesarina.
Okay.
Yep, and it's titled, Foods Everyone Over 40 Should Eat, Tomatoes, Cherries, Oats, the Diet Essentials for the 40-plus Club.
And porridge.
Actually, this isn't a bad article. I really enjoyed this one. You're gonna be picking on me, but
let me put myself on snooze alarm here. Go ahead.
Unmute. Put yourself on mute.
Yes.
It says we can afford to be a little cavalier with our diets when we are young, but once we reach 40, as Hollywood actor Jude Law will later this year, the way our bodies cope with everything we eat begins to change. And yes, that's true. Studies suggest that the amount of energy burnt while resting begins to drop by the age of 30 and by a further 7% with every subsequent decade. So if you continue eating as you did in your 20s, you'll start putting on the weight. Okay, here we go.
There
from
we
a
go.
Fourth decade, not that long, I promise, I'll speed it up. The risk of cardiovascular disease and diabetes becomes a concern. Lead an unhealthy lifestyle and your cholesterol levels and blood pressure will rise. The good news is there are foods proven to fight these concerns. And here are some items that I would advise everyone over 40 to stock up on. I'm not saying that. This is the article.
Okay.
Oats. Do you believe it? Number one. See? Here's the oats. Go back to
porridge. Yeah, the horse. Suggestion must come from the horse board. Go ahead.
Cherries. Cherries are very useful in combating several conditions that is common in middle age, including gout and arthritis. I think I talked about that. Remember a while back?
Yeah, you talked about that one time. But yes, you talked about cherries before.
Yes. Almonds. Oh, we all know about the almonds. And, of course, fish oil. You know about
right.
that. It makes fats. It says soy. Soybeans have been linked to lowering cholesterol and increasing bone density. Whole milk. Full fat milk can help combat the reduction in muscle mass associated with getting older, especially after the age of 50. I don't drink, I love milk. I'm a huge milk drinker, but I drink the 2%.
I drink the 1% or the non-fat type. I don't think I can even drink regular milk anymore.
Kind of sick, Bob. I know, people tell me that, but see, I don't know, I put half and half in my coffee, so I don't know if I could probably drink whole milk.
I like almond milk too. How much more of this do I have to struggle to listen about healthy food?
We're done with that one. Move on.
Okay, move on. Find something fun. You got anything like, go back to Krispy Kreme donuts if you don't.
Well, I have this, you probably won't want to hear this, unsafe food. Oh, actually, you might like this. Unsafe food, putting lives at risk.
Oh, yeah, I did read something about that. What's the story about that?
Well, you don't like to put the stuffing in the turkey, so this is your cup of tea here. It says, despite sweeping reform of food safety laws intended to make what we eat less dangerous, the number of Americans falling ill or dying from contaminated food has increased 44% since last year.
That's amazing to me. Is it because we're not as tough? I mean, back in the day, think about it. Our grandparents and great grandparents, they would eat anything, and they, of course, they didn't live very long either. So maybe that tells you something.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And they wouldn't know if they got sick from food. They probably didn't think about it. But it says tainted cantaloupe. A lot of people don't clean the cantaloupe from the diet, and you really should.
Yeah, I mean, it surprises me, though, that with all the food safety things, it says it increased how much? 44%?
44% since last year.
That's hard to believe.
I know.
Is everybody just a bunch of wimps and they get sick easier? I don't know.
People have sensitive stomachs maybe or something. It says meat. And the recent peanut butter recall has left consumers struggling to keep up with the list of ever-changing toxic edibles. Approximately 48 million people get sick from eating tainted food each year. Arguing more must be done to protect Americans from unsafe food. Nearly 15% of food consumed in the U.S. is imported. and the FDA's own data indicates that two-thirds of the fruits and vegetables on Americans' dinner plates are from foreign food suppliers.
Well, you know, I was getting ready to say I wasn't going to pick on our friends in the South, but I know a lot of the issues that come out of Mexico here in California with lettuce, cantaloupes, tomatoes.
Yeah.
And I think the sanitation from there is not quite as good. And then they bring it in, especially here in California. We ship in a lot of stuff from Mexico. So I don't know if that has something to do with it. Maybe it does.
Yeah, because it says instead of improving, it says the problem of foodborne outbreaks is getting worse. The incidence of salmonella was three times the 2010 National Health Objective target, which is especially alarming as salmonella causes the majority of hospitalization and deaths from foodborne disease.
Amazing.
FDA told CNN that the rulemaking process can take time, and we are working diligently to get this right. Unbelievable.
Wow. What other news do you have? You're depressing me now.
Well, you asked for something interesting. I think, well, here's some fun news. Okay. Budweiser, Black Crown, higher alcohol.
There you go.
Now we're talking. Budweiser is on the verge of releasing a new higher alcohol line of beers. Bad Edge reports, which could be available in time to be promoted in a big commercial during the Super Bowl. Ooh.
All right.
I'd be happy with that one. The new
line. As a matter of fact, you know, one of my favorite beers is that Platinum, the Bud Light Platinum, and it's like 6% alcohol. And I think they've had such success with that brand that they're coming out with. What'd you call it? It's called Black Label? What'd you call it again?
It's called Black Crown.
Black Crown.
Mm.
I like that. That's my kind of story.
I know it is. Black Crown will likely be available in stores by early 2013, about a year after the company unleashed its successful Budweiser Platinum.
See, there you
go. Also, alcohol than normal Bud. That's the one you did mention that.
Yeah, like that's one of my favorites. It's really good beer. You got to serve it frozen just about. It's good when it's frozen.
Yeah, you got to have cold beer.
Got to have cold beer.
I don't know how they do it, but it's the Irish. And hi,
when you have it, huh?
I'm sorry.
Would you? I'm cutting it. My phone's cutting in and out here on the microphone. Did you have any more interesting stories? Because I'm hurrying you up now.
Do you want to cut me off?
Do you have any more stories?
I was going to finish the rest of it, but you stopped me.
Well, time's ticking. Time's a ticking.
Okay, should I finish the little line here?
Yes, go ahead.
Anheuser-Busch has apparently already gotten approval on its label plans from the Alcohol and Tobacco Tax and Trade Bureau. As for what's inside the bottle, it's alleged to be a distinctively smooth golden amber lager. It's unclear how exactly that makes it different. Lager?
Lager. Lager.
Lager? I say lager. Ah, potato.
Say it the same way you say talk and coffee. Lager.
How do you say it? Am I saying it wrong, really?
Yes, you're saying it wrong. It's lager, but go ahead.
Oh, gosh. It's unclear how exactly that makes it different from traditional Budweiser, which is billed as the great American lager, sort of lager.
You done?
Are you cutting out again?
Are you done?
Yes. I guess if you stop
me. What I'm going to do is I want you to hang on because we're supposed to have a guest on right now at 9 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not showing up on the board, so you know how that goes. So I'm waiting to see if our guest calls in. Tony, he's a movie producer, writer, and director, and he's supposed to be coming on and telling us about his movie called When Skies Are Blue, but he's not showing up on the board. So you better go look for some more food news in case our guest doesn't show up. I'm going to play one of the songs in his movie. Don't go anywhere, Laurie.
Okay,
if he doesn't show up, we got to talk about some more food news. But I'm gonna play. Oh, let's see. The song is called "Over and Over," and this is from the movie "When Skies Are Blue." Hopefully, he will be calling in. I'm gonna go check and see if he sent me an email. But I'll be right back. And everybody, hang tight. We'll be back in like 3 minutes.
Come on, gotta take it all in stride. Daddy's got me on my backside, still teaching me wrong from right. Ever since I left my schooling, forgot the lessons that I'd learned. And I don't know what I'm doing no more. I've been getting burned. I've been getting burned over and over and over again. Said you ain't my friend. Things are different. Only you don't understand. You don't listen, no. Just listen again. Beach bum, baby, waiting on high tide. Sitting out in the sunshine, pondering all the facts alive. Gotta throw on your shirt, young sonny. Gotta run back into work. I usually feel so useless, I forget what I'm worth.
Go take a hike. We appreciate it.
That's wonderful. Have a great day.
Yeah, you too. Talk to you later.
Okay, bye-bye now.
Bye-bye. And then we have on the show with us this morning is, he's a movie director, producer. He also wrote the movie When Skies Are Blue. We like to welcome to the show Tony, and I'm going to probably screw up your last name. Is it Naraki?
That's correct, Tony Naraki.
All right. Good morning. Welcome to the show.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for coming on. We appreciate you taking time this morning to come on and tell our listeners about your movie, When Skies Are Blue. And I understand you actually produced, wrote, and directed this movie. And I thought it was kind of interesting. We usually have a lot of food people on, and we have musicians. But I think this may be one of the first times we've actually had a director and a movie guy on, so thank you. And I wanted to have you on just to, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and about your movie?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm from Holland, Michigan originally, and I went to school at Columbia College Chicago, and that's where I made this film, or it was part of a class at Columbia, an independent projects class, and shot the film in North Judson, Indiana, and went there because they had a fantastic railroad museum to shoot the film at, and the town really fit the look and the grit of the film. And so, yeah, that's how we ended up in North Judson shooting When Skies Are Blue.
So what gave you the idea for the movie, and what's kind of the premise of the movie?
Well, I guess when I write, I usually write image-based. So if I write a song, it's kind of based on images that come to my head, or for this case, for the movie, there's an image of a boy playing guitar for his little sister that kind of got, you know, the first spark going in my head. And so I kind of saw that, and I already had the songs written for the movie. So those kind of came first. But I saw this image of this boy playing guitar for his little sister and in this bedroom, and I kind of just, you know, went off of that idea and trying to discover who this character was, who his little sister was, and it just kind of snowballed into this movie about, you know, a kid in middle America who doesn't really have his life together, you know, absentee father, alcoholic mother, and, you know, he himself is slipping kind of down this path. And so it's just kind of him trying to find escape and refuge, you know, through his music.
Well, it's kind of interesting because usually movies are written first and then the music follows. So yours actually was the reverse of that. You wrote the music, and from there the movie came from the music. And it's kind of a neat twist about it. And you actually yourself are a music writer, and you also have a band.
Yeah. We had a band kind of back in Michigan, myself, John Fiegel, Kellen Boersma, and Wade Selkirk, really good band. And actually, myself, Kellen Boersma, and Wade recorded that song over and over, and that's me singing there for that song. And and a lot of the so I'm out in L.A. now, but I haven't really found a group yet to play with, but the songs came first mostly just because, you know, it was my independent project, and just the thought of trying to license music or look for it, just the thought of that just became an enormous pain in my mind. So I was like, well, I have all these songs here, and, you know, this movie is going to be entirely independent anyway, so I may as well use these songs that I just have laying around. And I thought that James Gallagher and Devin Shea performed them brilliantly. I thought they did a great job with them.
Well, the music is great. I was listening to I went to Facebook, and I was listening to all the different songs from the movie yesterday. And matter of fact, I downloaded about six of them here that we'll play during the show. But I love the music. And how's the movie itself doing so far?
Yeah, it's doing pretty good. It's a short film, so it's kind of got a bizarre market in America. And, like, economically speaking, America isn't too interested in short films, but artistically speaking, I guess it's doing very well. It's, you know, screened at several festivals, and everyone who's seen it has had a uniquely different response, which I really enjoy, and they really like it, and the movie, and they really like the look of the movie, so I guess I have to thank my director of photography, Cody Jacobs. We shot on Super 16mm film, and I think that kind of surprises people, because a lot of people are just, you know, shooting on DSLRs or whatever,
right,
you know, little stock they can get their hands on. And, you know, the movie really, I think, has a little bit more effect just because it does have that magic of film. And I also think that kind of helps our actors out a little bit, you know, putting them in film as opposed to digital.
Now, if someone wanted to see the movie, but if I can, I'll mention your website too, which is www.whenskiesareblue.com. If someone wants to see the movie, is there places that they can go, or is it going to be coming out on a DVD or anything such as that?
Yeah, right now I have DVD copies. So I guess the best way right now is just to email me personally at rockout@whenskiesareblue.com. And I've been taking personal order requests for the movie to mail it out for $20, and then I'm trying to get more adequate links online for it, just because right now it still is at festivals. I don't want to completely
right.
let the cat out of the bag, but
right.
But yeah, for now, the Facebook page has, you know, all the music from the movie for download, and then some of my songs are actually on there as well, just because I don't have a musician Facebook page, so I've just been throwing them on there. But yeah, you can download all the music there, and then on the website you can see the trailer and the B-roll video for John Fiegel's song, You Said You Wanna Die. But yeah, the actual movie right now is only kind of for sale on DVD until I kind of can get some other options up here.
Well, let's play another song from the movie. And the song Tomorrow's Lullabies, is that the opening song to the movie?
Yeah, that's the opening song, and that's the song he's playing to his little sister. That's that image that kind of got the whole thing going.
All right, well, we're going to play Tomorrow's Lullaby, and we'll come back and chat with Tony some more. Everybody, hang tight. This is from the movie When Skies Are Blue.
Thank you.
Go to bed and rest your head. Oh, babe, close your eyes. Tomorrow's lullabies, for tomorrow's lullabies. So good night and sleep tight. You know I love you. Drift away, no need to and awake when skies are blue.
That was Tomorrow's Lullabies from the movie When Skies Are Blue. And now, who's singing that song, Tony? We have Tony joining us, by the way, if you're just joining us. Tony, and I want to say it right now, Naraki, who's the director and writer and the producer of this movie. And who was singing that song?
That song was James Patrick Gallagher.
James Patrick Gallagher, okay. And so that's the opening scene to the movie. He's playing the music to his sister. And the premise of it is he basically is stuck in a small town and sort of like that's his whole life he's there. And does he actually leave? I don't want to give away the plot, but does he ever leave?
I guess we'll have to see the movie to find out. It's kind of interesting. A lot of people, since it is a short film, you kind of have to cram a lot into 16 minutes.
Right.
A lot of people, writers in particular, they're like, oh, you know, you need more. And some people are like, oh, are you working on the feature film? And they want, you know, more from the movie, which is good, I think, to keep the audience wanting for more. But, there will be no feature film, and, I guess I won't really spoil the ending for you.
You don't spoil it. So it's 16 minutes long. Now, how long does it take to make a 16-minute film? I mean, how long did it take you to put it all together and edit it and actually produce it and put it together?
A lot of that usually depends on budget, and my budget was my bank account, so that was a slow go at it. Kind of took a full year of pre-production. I was actually in L.A. in 2008 when I wrote it on an internship. And then I came back that school year in September and started pre-production immediately and set my dates for pretty much like the week before graduation. So I had, you know, 9 months or so to, you know, get everything together. Just went through, you know, the rigorous process of finding all the locations, all the cast, all the crew. And then we shot for 5 days there in North Judson, and absolutely fantastic. The people were wonderful and really supportive of the movie. And after principal photography, the movie sat in film cans for the whole summer for 3 months just because it cost $3,000 to transfer all the film to digital. And,
wow.
Yeah, so I didn't have that money, so it took a summer to get that money together. And then we finally started editing, and then that just took, you know, over a year to kind of get everything together and get through, you know, problems, crashed hard drives, and my editor was working for free, so, you know, it wasn't exactly like he was working as fast as he could. But, you know, it's just one of those things that you shrug off with a short film. Just, you know, you keep your eyes on the finish line and you just keep going at it. And then the release process, you know, it's been slowly being released for a year. It, you know, it's just been slowly touring festivals and, you know, getting the word out there. So, it's crazy that a 16-minute movie, you know, takes this long, but, you know, you just got to, it's just hard because I approach everything, you know, with the quality in mind and the end product, and as long as it takes me to get a quality product, you know, I'll take that time to get it.
So what's the plans for the movie upcoming? What other festivals are you going to be at in the next few months?
I've not heard back. I've got some submissions out right now to festivals, and they're kind of under the review process. And at this point right now, I'm just really only submitting to festivals that can kind of grant me fee waivers, just because it's a pretty expensive, you know, to be submitting $30 or $50 every time you submit to a festival. And
right.
They'll, you know, they'll reject you, or sometimes not even see your movie, or you really don't know. So it's just, it's, you know, that's just not a really something I can afford to do at this time. So I'm just, at this point in the festival circuit, just kind of looking for those who are willing, you know, willing to grant, you know, a student film, shot on film, a fee waiver for their festival, you know, just to see if they'll like it to show. So yeah, right now it's just under a lot of review, and you know, I kind of use this film as a resume piece, even though a lot of people do suggest to make a feature out of it. I really, really want these characters to kind of stay in the short form world. I don't think this movie would have as much impact if it were dragged out into an hour and a half or longer. I think it would lose some of its gusto.
You should just squeeze as much as you can in the 16 minutes and hope that the audience gets it in that amount of time, right?
Exactly. Hour and a half musical would have a longer list of songs, a lot more songs.
Now, this song, I'm going to play another one here. It's called You Said You Want to Die. Who sings that song?
That song in the film is sang by Devin Shea. He's the friend character of James in the movie, and so they're at the railroad train track for it. Devin starts out singing that song, and James kind of comes in and joins him. And that song is written by my good friend, John Fiegel.
John Fiegel, okay. We're going to play that next. You Said You Want to Die. This is from the movie When Skies Are Blue. We'll be back right after the song.
Thank you.
You Want to Die from the movie When Skies Are Blue. We have Tony Naraki on joining us. He's the producer, the writer, and the director of the movie. So what are your plans from the future? You got any more songs/movies in your head?
Yeah, absolutely. And actually, I have to correct myself. That song is for the B-roll video. That's John Beagle's You Said You Want to Die.
Okay.
Yeah, so John's singing that one, playing guitar and playing all the instruments for that one. But yeah, I used it for a B-roll video of the town and of the characters in the movie for supplemental material for the movie.
Okay.
So that I sent that video over to you. But as for the future, I'll keep writing songs. I don't know. I kind of actually. Since I'm not really doing much with them, or, you know, I really don't have the time or the or group right now, I'd actually kind of like to sell them to some people if some people would be interested in them. But I have a nice New Year's Eve song that I just wrote that I really like, and a few other ones rolling around up there. And then I also have some movie ideas as well for some, you know, longer form features. That I have rolling around. It's just one of those things where, you know, you put so much time into a movie that, you know, the next project really has to be, you know, even better than this project and, you know, have more of a chance of being, you know, financially viable, I guess, to
right.
an investor as opposed to, you know, a resume piece.
Now, see, if you need a leading man and you need an idea, I have a great idea of a struggling food radio host who's handsome and hot and has this great radio show that's going on. And if you could write some music to go along with that, we could probably put it together another movie.
All right, I had some jingles that might work for that. Yeah, I really. I don't know. Now that I'm out in L.A., it's really exciting, you know, to be surrounded by a lot of people who are passionate about the same things. And, yeah, it's, you know, definitely wrote a handful of new songs when I came out here and a few more are coming up. And, you know, it'd be nice not to have to Clint Eastwood it and write all of your music for your movies. But,
yeah.
You know, at this point, it's a skill I've developed to keep things cheaper in the long
right.
run.
Well, if everybody who's listening want to check out more about Tony's movie, you can find it. All you have to do, we've got a link here on our show. It's www.whenskiesareblue.com, and you can find out more about the show, the actual movie, hear the music, and download the music. And it's great stuff, Tony. I really enjoy the music that goes along with the movie. I'm about to check out the movie myself, and we appreciate you coming on the show this morning to share your story and share the information about the movie and the music, and I wish you the best success in the future.
Great. Thank you so much for having me. And if you like the movie and the music, go to the website, go to the When Skies Are Blue Facebook page, band profile. You can download some of my songs, the songs from the movie. You can also visit John Beagle on Facebook. John's got some of his own tracks up there. And you can also visit James Patrick Gallagher on Facebook, my actor. He's been working on some of his own stuff as well. So if you're
great.
A music fan, there's music out there.
All right. Well, thank you for joining us. I'm going to play another song as we go to break. I'm going to play the song I Just Want You to Know. That's from the movie, right?
I Just Want You to Know is actually one of my songs. So that's me and John playing that one.
Oh, good. All right. Well, we're going to play that next. And I appreciate you stopping by, Tony. And keep us posted if you got any more projects in the future.
Will do. Thank you so much.
All right. Take care.
All right, you too. Bye-bye.
One. A clever boy and a clever girl spinning round on a tilt-a-whirl. We're just trying to catch our breath like it's the last one that we have left. I just want you to know that I'll never let you go, 'cause it's your hand that I wanna hold. I just want you to know
When Skies Are Blue, the writer of that song is Tony Naraki, and he produced and wrote and directed the movie we're talking about earlier. Check it out on the website. You just go click on the link we've got here, www.whenskiesareblue. We appreciate him joining us this morning and sharing his story, and check out the movie if you get a chance and go to his website. Very interesting stuff. I'd like to thank everybody for your support. Each week, we just keep numbers going up and up, and we thank you for everyone who shares in this fun every Saturday morning. And tell your friends and tell your enemies if you'd like. But we play this show every Saturday morning, and we try to entertain you as best we can about food, the food world, and foodies and music and things such as that. And I'm going to play some music this afternoon for those that are listening, some of our past guests, since we have kind of a short list here of guests that we have on the show this show. I'm going to play some of our past guests, some of my favorites, and everybody hang tight. I'm going to play the first one. If you guys remember Tiana, she was one of our guests. Oh, gosh, I don't remember what it was. I think it was like 2.5 months ago. She's a great singer that I think you'll like her stuff. And remember, too, if you ever want to go back and hear any of these shows that we play every Saturday, you can always go back to the archives. Just go to www.bugtalkradio.com/Gurian Ideas. All the shows are archived. We go all back to September of last year. If any of your favorites are there, if you didn't hear some of our past shows, they're always there for your listening pleasure. All right, I'm going to play Tiana, and her song was called Hold Me. Everybody hang tight, and we'll be back in just a few minutes.
When I was a child, I was held all the time. Now that I'm grown, there's more on my mind than being held enough. Gotta keep moving, hold back the tears. Gotta keep working, don't think about fear. There's no time to stop. Hold me, no one, nobody hold. I
that was Tiana, one of our past guests a couple of months ago, and I'm going to play some more music today of some of our past guests, and while that one was playing, I was looking through, and Tara Tensley, who has helped us out tremendously on the show, she's been on a few times, and in fact, she just got back from Japan, and she's moved to Nashville and making some moves in the Nashville scene, and I think I'll play some of Tara Tensley, one of her songs here, and I think I'm going to go with the song No Escaping You. And it, by the way, if you want to hear any of Tara Tensley and of her interviews, you can go back, like I said earlier, and check out our archives. This is Tara Tensley, No Escaping You. Some songs from some of our past guests, and I'm looking through the list here, and our next singer I'm going to play is Tara Priest. There seems to be a theme going here. Everybody's name starts with a T. We had Tiana, Tara Tensley, and now we have Tara Priest, and I guess that's because it's T for Thanksgiving in Turkey, but
another one of our favorite guests was Tara Priest. She came on, that's been a while back, one of our earlier shows, and she's got some great music. And like I said earlier, if you want to go back and listen to any of the old shows, they're there for your listening. We got a chance to interview these people, find out more about their story, and they all have great music. So I'm going to play Tara Priest, and the song is I Gotta Run. And everybody hang tight, and we'll be back with some more music. So hang on. This is Green Ideas Radio. One of our past guests, Tara Priest, and since we are seem to be on a theme here on guest names, we all start with T. We had Tiana, Tara Tinsley, Tara Priest. I think I'll just keep on with the theme. Check out Tamara Ray. She was one of our guests, one of our past shows, and this is one of my favorite songs of Tamara Ray's. It's called Catch Me.
And you're listening to Grayan Ideas Radio. We're playing some of our past guests. This is Tamaray, Catch Me. Tiana will be joining us on December 22nd. She's coming on to sing some new Christmas music that she has just released. She'll be on December 22nd, and so everybody make sure you check out that. I want to also mention next week we have a singer named Matt Ritchie who's coming on to play for us, and we also have Brian Fairchild, which a lot of you may know out there in Facebook world. Brian is going to be joining us next week to talk about his favorite subject, wine. And he knows a lot about wine and food groups to go with different wines. So Brian will be joining us next Saturday to talk about his favorite topic. And I told Brian the only way he could be on our show was to make sure he wore sunglasses. So Brian will be joining us. And, of course, Laurie, our Joysy-style food news girl, will be back next week along with hopefully my sidekick Aaron and Hank Bob and friends. And then on December the 8th, just want to mention that we have Saber Ricci coming on again on December the 8th. She'll be joining us to talk about those recipes for love. Katarina, of course, with her sexy desserts, and she'll be talking about Christmas desserts for the holidays. And then we have a chef
from, I believe, the Northern California, Haas Zare, will be joining the show on December the 8th, along with our regulars. And we have just have a whole group of people scheduled for all of December, some great bands. We've got all kinds of things. We've got a guy coming on to talk about food photography. Chef Franco is going to be coming on also again to talk about some of his trips overseas. So we've got quite a group of people and talent coming on between now and the first of the year. Thank you again, everybody, for supporting the show. We'll keep doing this if you guys keep listening. And if you're out there and you want to be on the show, if you're a foodie, or if you're in the wine business, or if you just, heck, if you can just boil a hot dog, as we say, let us know if you want to come on the show to tell your story. Also, if you're a singer or have some kind of talent, musical instrument, you want to come on and show everybody your talent for your 15 minutes of fame, you're welcome to contact me, greeandideas@earthlink.net, or you can find me on Facebook. There's a Facebook page for just Gree and Ideas, and there's also a Gree and Ideas radio page. So check out those if you'd like to be on the show. We would love to have you on, and we've got openings coming up in January. Thank you, everybody, once again, for joining us. And I'm going to close out the show with, let's play some more of this music from our guest who was on earlier today. The movie is called When Skies Are Blue, and this is some of the music from the movie. And check out Tony Naraki and his movie at www.whenskiesareblue.com. And let's see, let's go with, he's got a song here that says Why I Love You. It's a short song, and I'll close out with a couple more of the songs from the movie. Everyone, enjoy your leftovers from Thanksgiving. Have fun. We'll see you again next Saturday morning. Thanks for joining us, everyone. Take care, and we will see you next week.
You make me laugh, no one else does that. With your eyes so blue, that's why I love you. And I don't have to ask, I'm not under attack. And you shine through, that's why I love you.
Bye.